The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Then he says, Kim, I am old. You know how old I am? I said, Warren, how old are you? He said, I am so old that in order to get into women's panties, I had to buy Hanes underwear.
Welcome to Commando On Demand Insider, your fast-paced weekly update straight from Kim's desk to your ears. In just a bit, Kim talks with Joe Pags, her monthly conversation. This week, they'll talk about how Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank got scammed. Smart speakers, and you're not going to believe what they're finding in rideshare cars, and a great story about Warren Buffett. Also coming up, the worldwide launch of a new Commando newsletter, tools for harassing phone calls. We all get those harassing phone calls. Kim has some ideas on how to stop them, how to track the coronavirus, setting up your smart home. And, of course, if you want a smart home, Kim is going to talk extensively today about that. And murder for hire on the dark web. What's that all about? Every week we find a fun trivia question and ask that you give us your best guess without using Google. You know, computers are everywhere, but have you ever given much thought about how they started? The very first computer took more than 1,800 square feet and weighed about 27 tons. Which brings me to the trivia question. Which of the following is not true about computers? Invented in 1822? Was Time's Man of the Year? Microsoft released the first laptop? Or first mouse was actually made of wood? Three of those are true, one is false. Invented in 1822, was Time's Man of the Year. Microsoft released the first laptop, and the first mouse was made of wood. I'm going to have that answer for you just a little bit later on. By the way, this is not the nationally syndicated Kim Commando show. You can get that podcast and listen at your convenience. You just need to go to getkim.com. That's getkim.com. Use promo code Kim. You get a no-obligation, 7-day free trial. Again, that's at getkim.com, and then use promo code Kim for that free 7-day trial. Let's get started in a moment with Joe Pags and Kim, getting you up to date on everything digital on the Commando On Demand Insider.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's Commando On Demand Insider, and here's Kim's monthly conversation with nationally syndicated radio show host Joe Pags.
JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the live video feed. We appreciate you stopping by the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have back my friend, radio superstar, television superstar, Kim Commando. Kim, how are you?
I'm great, Joe. How are you doing?
Kim is the digital goddess. I'm doing great. Over 400 stations every weekend. Check her out on her video podcasts. Check her out on television all over the place. Go to her website, commando.com. It's an amazing education every time. You know what I love about your Instagram, by the way, is that like any given day, you're in like Switzerland or Italy or something. The other day, you were just somewhere far flung. Like, how did you get there? Look at that. That's really cool. You use different social for different reasons. Like Instagram.
Yes.
These are the traveling photos.
Well, you know, you're talking about like, you know, you have Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, you know, the list goes on, Twitter. You know, you can't just put the same thing out on all your social media platforms because it's different people, it's different audiences. So like somebody wants to know news. And so like, for example, today on Twitter, it's just going like crazy as I found what I think is the ultimate coronavirus COVID-19 map. So if you really want to see what's going on, it's a map from Johns Hopkins that shows you, like, for example, there's Tampa now and San Antonio and Tempe, Arizona, and in Sacramento County, and what's going on in Oregon, and not just Seattle. So with Instagram, it's always like my travel photos and car photos and things like that.
And it's very cool. I'm sort of the dumb guy. I put everything on everything and the same things on everything. And I think that it does become, you know, duplicated. complicated for a lot of my followers, and they don't like that. I think what you're doing is exactly how you do it. By the way, you know I'm in San Antonio, so they're closing them all down here because a lady ate the food court or something that it turns out had coronavirus. We have no idea why she was let go. So in utilizing it, do you have a TikTok, by the way?
Well, you know what? I don't have a TikTok, but what's really crazy, and the reason why I mentioned TikTok, is that there's a guy on TikTok called Old Man Steve. Okay. He's 81 years old.
Oh, wow.
And he has like this incredible TikTok following. I mean, we're talking like, you know, millions and millions of followers, you know, and TikTok is really like for late teens, 20-year-olds. But this guy, Old Man Steve, he's 81 years old, and he actually made a TikTok video for me. And he's like, you know, I'm Old Man Steve, and I'm going to make Kim Komando a bowl of soup. And anyway, so he's a cooking guy. And so he like opened up a can of Campbell's bean and bacon soup or something like that. So anyway, but the kids love him. And they say like, hey, Grandpa, I wish you were my grandfather. And he loves it. He's actually in Fort Worth, by the way. He loves it because he's widowed. He's got no kids. He's got no grandkids. Right. So it actually makes him feel wanted and loved.
It's a whole new community for him. That's amazing. By the way, I've got a TikTok. I think I told you last time. The only video on there is from the daddy-daughter dance with my daughter, Gia. Oh. And by the way, I've taken your steps and your rules and your parameters when it comes to her having a phone. And it's not, you know, it's 3 or 4 days a week where I'm saying, Gia, I don't like that video. Take it down. That one didn't work out for me. Take it down. Before you do another one, talk to dad first.
That's
because
good.
In TikTok, I think you've got these influencers that are very suggestive in the way they dance or are very suggestive in what they're doing and what the message is. Gia doesn't know. She's 11. But she's just trying to emulate them. So that's a filter that we've got to keep on going, right?
Well, and it's a conversation that's ongoing. And unfortunately, we're always going to have new social media and the kids are going to be just doing something crazy. And, you know, you want to be proactive, not reactive. So I'm glad you're one of those proactive parents.
Well, I got it from you and I appreciate the advice over the years. Komando.com, go there, sign up for the newsletter. Tons are on that newsletter. If you're not, then you're one of the few that isn't. Go and sign up. And also see Kim's rules and guidelines for your kids when it comes to the internet. I watch Shark Tank every week. I love the show. The one thing you didn't think that a billionaire or a multimillionaire would ever, you know, run into is a phishing scam. You're saying it happened.
Well, Barbara Crockerin, she's a real estate mogul, right?
Yeah.
And so her assistant, supposedly assistant, sent a bookkeeper request for a remodeling project for $388,000. Okay.
Right.
So the bookkeeper said, oh, well, of course I should pay this. So she sends out the almost $400,000 payment to a supposed remodel project, only to find out later that what they did on the assistant's email address, instead of like, for example, Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, it was A-L-I-S-O-N. Okay,
oh,
so,
wow.
You know, just at first glance, it's like, oh, well, this looks legit. Now, the good news for her is that the bookkeeper wired the money to a bank in Germany, and then it was going to be transferred to a bank in China. Well, the German bank said, hey, you know, this doesn't seem right to us, and so they actually shut it down.
Oh, good. It's scary to think that somebody who's been in the business a long time and they're always trying to be somebody's trying to scam these millionaires all the time. They try to scam people like you and me, even though, you know, I'm nobody. But if they can get over on us, then they could use our influence or what they think is our money or whatever.
That's
and
true.
And get away with it. The odd part to me is that they've gotten so good at it, these phishing people, because I got an email like a lot of people have gotten. There's a scam going around that says, I know that your password is, and then there's an actual password I've used on an account. It's a password only I would know. And somehow this was released through somebody phishing and scamming and getting it. And we know that you were watching those nasty videos. And we've got a video of you watching the videos. And if you don't send me $5,000, we're going to release it. Well, I have no worries because I'm not doing that. But, I mean, these people, obviously, it's working, Kim, or else they wouldn't keep on doing it, right? And how do they get such intimate details, like my former password?
Well, because they've been released. They've been hacked. There is some data breach, for example. If you go to a website called Have I Been Pwned, you can actually type in your email address, and they'll give you some sample passwords. So the fact that somebody has your email address and an old password, and they're telling you, for example, that, yeah, we caught you watching some porno, and now we're going to send that video to all your family members and friends, you know, just delete it, because they don't have anything on you. It's just, you know, somebody trying to scam you out of $300 or $5,000.
It's crazy. It's Kim Komando. Go to Komando.com. Watch and listen to everything she does. She's amazing. Smart speakers. You and I have gone back and forth on smart speakers because last time you educated me with Alexa because, again, Amazon says Alexa never listens until she hears the keyword.
Yes.
And your contention is, how does she hear the keyword if she's not listening? So it turns out she's accidentally, or these smart speakers, maybe not just Alexa, they're listening a lot.
Well, there was a new research report that was done. And what they did is they actually played Netflix in the background for about 120 hours. And they put Alexa against Cortana, against Apple's HomePod, against the Harman Kardon Invoke, which I mentioned Cortana, which actually uses the Microsoft product. And they wanted to figure out who listens the most. And what they found out is that on general, your smart speaker will actually wake up and hear things about 19 times a day. And when you think about it, how many times do you actually talk to your smart speaker? What, four or five? And now suddenly 19 times it's actually listening. And so what you want to do is, you know, actually go into the app for your smart speaker and then take a look every once in a while and listen to what it actually hears, because you can actually review the recordings, you can delete them. And if you're really that nervous about what your smart speaker is hearing, then, well, you can turn the mic off, which kind of defeats the purpose, or you can do what I did, just unplug it and put it in a box in the garage.
You don't actually use one now.
No, it just got to be really scary for me.
Well, it's creepy, isn't it?
It is.
Creepy.
And when you start reviewing the recordings, Joe, it's like, I did not want to sign that letter of intent have anything to do with Alexa play the Kim Komando show or what's the weather, you know? So they are listening. Now, Amazon says, and everybody else says, like, they're only listening to improve their product, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I just feel like that may just be a little bit too intrusive for me.
I could not agree more. It's Kim Komando, Komando.com, the digital goddess. Rideshare cars. This is disgusting. Rideshare cars are regularly treated for what?
Bed bugs. Gross.
Come on.
Isn't it?
Come on.
Yeah, they're finding out that, well, Orkin and as well as Home Pest Patrol, they do say, and Terminix, they say like Dallas is one of the buggiest cities in the entire country.
Nice.
But some exterminators there actually said, hey, you know, we are doing about 6 to 10 cars a week for bed bugs. And so if you get into a rideshare car, just know that you may have a different type of rideshare that actually comes with you.
Somebody else is already riding in that car. And now if you get into one of these cars and you get out and you start scratching and stuff, now you know why.
Yes.
I mean, is it assumed that it's good, that it's coming from people staying at hotels, or just who knows?
Who knows? I mean, so if you get, like you mentioned, you get that creepy feeling that sometimes you get, like you're actually in a stranger's car.
Right.
Maybe that creepy feeling is kind of really something creepy.
That's right. It's disgusting. It's Kim Komando. Go and sign up for her newsletter. How many million on the newsletter now? Do we know?
Oh, you know what? It's just crazy. I mean, we send out 40 million newsletters every single month, and we're actually starting a new newsletter. We're calling it The Current, and you can start signing up for that over at komando.com/subscribe. But it's twice a week, and it's, I guess you'd say, it's all the news that you can put inside of a newsletter in less than 5 minutes. You're going to get it twice a week. So it's a little bit different.
I love it. And it's an amazing newsletter. I mean, there's so much great information. And yeah, the way that you intertwine your show, because you listen to the Kim Komando show and you say, go to the website and click over here. And then I've got more on that over here and do that thing. It's such great information that you put so much work into. And I know that I really appreciate it. I'm sure everybody who's on there does as well.
Well,
go to Komando.com, sign up for the current newsletter and the new one called The Current.
You got it.
Okay. Warren Buffett, billionaire.
Yes.
He's been using a flip phone this whole time, really?
Yes, a $25 Samsung flip phone. And he recently decided that he was going to move into the digital age. That's right. And he actually traded his $25 flip phone for an iPhone 11, which, you know, you do know that he owns 5% of Apple's stock.
So he could have had one for a while now.
Yes. And you know what's interesting to me is that it was probably, oh, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago that I was voted one of the top 100 most influential women in America by Fortune magazine.
Right.
And so I went there, I did the keynote, and I sat down next to Warren Buffett. And so, you know me, I actually looked at him. I said, hey, Warren, got any stock tips? You know, and he's like, no. And I said, you're still carrying a flip phone? Because that's what he had then.
Right.
And he said, Kim, you know, I listened to your show in Omaha, but I'm old. I have a flip phone. And I said, oh, you're not that old. And he says, Kim, I am old. You know how old I am? I said, Warren, how old are you? He said, I am so old that in order to get into women's panties, I had to buy Hanes underwear.
Stop it.
And I'm like, I bust out laughing. And meanwhile, it was like all quiet. And I'm like, right. Warren, you're like a card. I'm like, he and I are now best buds. Not really. But anyway, we were at that moment.
Well, Warren Buffett, the guy who is, again, a billionaire, What do you think changes his mind? Because if he's set on that flip phone, why is he going iPhone now? Do you say, you think so? You think your conversation probably did. It took him 5 years to let it sink in, I guess.
Well, he says he's only going to use it on his phone. He's not going to text. Just wait until he finds Candy Crush or Angry Birds. But he did tell me a story on why he did like the flip phone back then, even. Is he said that he didn't want all the distractions.
Yeah.
And he still has a fax machine because he doesn't trust email. And
who's faxing him on that fax machine? Nobody else has one.
You know what? I think if Warren Buffett wanted me to fax him something, I would probably figure out how to fax him something.
So older technology still works for him. But you know what? He's right. I'll admit it. You know me. I'm jailbreaking phones. I'm acting like a dork on my iPhone. I'm building, Hackintoshes and everything. And at the end of the day, I look up and it's 11:30 at night. And I've been doing it all day. I mean,
you're
right.
A geek.
Yeah, in a major way, he's right. You can get away from it when you've got a flip phone.
So you just sit there and you just have a call and you don't text. You don't check your Pinterest, your Facebook, your Apple News, the Daily Mail. You're not ordering on Postmates. I'm just thinking of everything that I do on my phone. Everything but make a phone call. And it's so funny. I don't even answer my phone anymore. I let it go straight to voicemail. And then I look at the transcription. I'm like, oh, okay.
I rarely use mine as a phone as well. It's the digital goddess. It's Kim Komando, komando.com. Go there, get all the great information. Great contract between you and your kids when it comes to the internet usage and the digital age. And sign up for both newsletters. Kim, I can't thank you enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Anytime.
All right, it's Komando on Demand Insider, and we have a big announcement. Today, we have Ali Seligman, and she is the content marketing director of komando.com. Big, important position. And thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and tell us about this.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Mike.
So what is it? What's going on?
We have a brand new newsletter, and we're so excited about it. So we know exactly what our readers love. The tech news, tips they need to keep up with the digital world.
Right.
We know what they don't love, and they tell us what they don't love. Those annoying ads, a ton of links, having to search for the news and advice they want. So we do it for you. That's why we created The Current. We hear you. Loud and clear. You're over the ads. You want less email. I bet your inbox is pretty crowded, Mike.
I have probably thousands of newsletters that I've never opened. Of course, everybody probably does.
Absolutely. We all do. That's why we're scaling it back with this one. You're going to get it in your inbox twice a week. It's not every day. You can read it in less than 5 minutes. It's got everything you need right there in the email.
All right. So everything digital in less than 5 minutes, twice a week. What you need to know.
Yep.
Sounds like a really kind of scaled back end. The biggest part about it is
it's totally free. So it's got news, tips. It's even got trivia in it. We cut out all the junk, all the clutter. We get to the bottom line.
I want to talk about advertising. I mean, there must be – it costs us money to put out newsletters, right?
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Where's the advertising in this newsletter?
There's no advertising in this newsletter.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, none of those annoying ads that you don't
I was just
see.
Setting you up. I knew that.
I know. Yeah, we're really excited about that. And we know that our readers are going to be excited about that too.
Yeah.
We know.
Clean.
Exactly. The real news that we want you to know, it's going to be all right there in the newsletter.
Okay.
We are going to provide you extra links if you want to learn more or get more information on something. But it's really just a less than 5 minute read. Just scroll through it on your phone or on your desktop and you're good to go.
And how do you get it?
You go to komando.com/thecurrent, put in your email address. That's it.
That's easy too.
komando.com/thecurrent.
Okay. Try it out, guys. We think you're going to love it. It really is a good, clean way to get to stay up to date on everything digital with Kim Komando. Again, so komando.com/thecurrent. Ali, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. And just ahead, Mojo Vision is a company that creates contact lenses that create images like you would see on your computer screen. It's hard to explain, but the company founders are going to be here in just a few moments to tell us about it. Later on, it's Murder for Hire on the Dark Web. What's that all about? What's the best way of setting up your smart home that is 100% secure? On Komando On Demand Insider.
Most phone companies, both landline and mobile, provide what's known as star codes to fight unwanted callers. You probably know that star 69 instantly traces the number of the last person who called you. It works even for anonymous or hidden calls. Once you have their number, you can then block calls from that number forever. And there's the nuclear option, star 57. If someone is genuinely harassing you, keep a log of each time it happens. After you have a good list of the evidence showing the times and the dates of the calls, dial star 57 the next time they call you. The harassing call is immediately transferred to the police. Then call the police non-emergency number. Send them your written call log showing the harassment. Remember, it's your phone. You can control it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, contact lenses that can display things like a computer screen. Here's more with Kim.
Augmented reality is on our phones and coming to our cars, but try and imagine seeing AR through your own two eyes, not with glasses, but with contact lenses. Mojo Vision is a startup that wants to bring advanced AR tech into our lives in a way that was never possible before. And on today's show, we have CEO Drew Perkins and SVP Steve Sinclair here to talk about Mojo Vision. So my first question for you two gentlemen is, how'd you come up with this idea?
So a decade ago, roughly, I got cataracts in my eyes. And I had cataract surgery. And when they do cataract surgery, they put devices called intraocular lenses into your eyes. And I thought, you know, why in this day and age, that was a decade ago already, can I have bionic vision like the $6 million man? I thought to myself, you know, someday I'm going to start a company to develop that. I'm a serial entrepreneur. The concept of augmented reality was already becoming very popular. I thought, well, obviously it would make sense to both commercially and just from the technology, integrate augmented reality capability into it at the same time.
Is the idea to have contact lenses that would have augmented reality like a Google Glass? And so you would put this directly into your eyes?
You would put it directly into your eyes and you get information like Google Glass. But Google Glass is more of a heads-up display. It isn't very good augmented reality. It doesn't truly... It gives you this little display up in the corner you can look at, but it doesn't show you information everywhere that you look. And the idea was it should show you images as if they're really there. And that's what we're doing.
And so, Drew, what would be some great uses of this smart contact lens?
Well, actually, I'll jump in here. So a lot of folks think about augmented reality as a heads-up display and bringing information in front of you. For us, it is contextual information. We want to bring up information that's useful in the moment. So imagine you're doing your show and your script is all in front of you, but there are no teleprompters in front of you. You have all the information you need available to you. You're a doctor working with a patient and all the patient information you need is there, but you're able to have a conversation with them eye to eye because you don't have something big and bulky on your face. So any kind of important information that you want to see in the moment is useful for this kind of application. And then when you don't need it, it goes away.
And so would your smartphone be doing most of the processing power then?
Some of the processing power is happening on the smartphone. Some of it is happening on an accessory that's helping to pass data to the contact lenses. Some of it can be happening in the cloud. And in fact, our smart contact lens actually has a small ARM processor on it as well.
Now, because this affects the body, what type of approvals do you need to bring this to market?
So we require FDA approval. All contact lenses are regulated as medical devices in the United States. That goes to safety. We need to prove to the FDA that this is an extremely safe device in all aspects. And we intend to truly earn people's trust. We want people to trust us to put technology on their eyes, literally, and have it be with them all day long.
How much longer before we would actually see this in the marketplace?
So it's probably going to be a few years, and we don't want to guess when the FDA is going to give us that approval, but we're working hard to get there.
So what do you think is the next milestone for Mojo Vision?
So I'll answer that one. I think that, you know, for us, it's continuing to build out the prototypes that we have. Prove that they do what we want them to do and that they're safe and effective to ourselves before we take them to the FDA for clinical trials. We're working very closely to build a solution for some of our earliest customers, which are going to be people that have low vision conditions, which will allow them to see information in front of them that they otherwise wouldn't be able to see. So we've been partnering with the Vista Center in Palo Alto, which helps people with low vision and blindness to cope with the conditions that they have. And we believe we can help them by giving them contact lenses that allow them to see things in front of them, like the edges of curbs or signs or cars or other obstacles that might be in their path as they're trying to get from place to place.
You know what? That's really remarkable. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because on a personal level, when I was 14, I had a cornea transplant. And in my right eye, my vision is probably 20/250. And on my left eye, I have 20/20. And so quite often, you know, I'll go to grab a glass and I like miss it, you know, and people say, oh gosh, she's drinking again. You know, it's not because you're drinking, it's just because you don't have that 3D perspective. But if, gosh, you know, if your technology could enable people that have various conditions live a normal and fulfilled life, I think that's absolutely phenomenal. Really, that's great. Kudos to you guys.
That's absolutely our goal. You know, that's sort of our North Star. What we're really trying to do is help people in all walks of life and all different kind of issues that they might have, or even help normal people be, you know, reach their full potential.
Gentlemen, thank you both again for coming on the Kim Komando Show. And I don't know about you, but I'm starting to think it might be worth trading my glasses in for a pair of these smart lenses.
Okay, our trivia answer is coming up. And if you remember, the trivia question this week is, what is it that is not true about the following about computers? Is it was invented in 1822, Time Magazine's Man of the Year, Microsoft released the first laptop, or was the first mouse created out of wood? One of those is not true. Three of them are true. Pick the one that's not. We'll have the answer in the next segment. Just ahead, if you've ever dreamed of having a smart home and you want to make sure that it's a 100% secure smart home, you're going to want to listen to our next question on Komando On Demand Insider.
On the dark web, there are numerous ads claiming that for a fee, they will kill someone for you. And make no mistake, unpleasant things will happen. A dark website for Azerbaijani Eagles says it will murder someone for you for $5,000. At Sicilian Hitmen International Network, a murder is $12,000. Slayer's Hitmen gives you options. A beating is $2,000, death by torture, $50,000. Researchers at Michigan State University studied 24 of these dark web hitman sites. The New York Times published the results yesterday. The findings? All of the murder-for-hire websites are scams. No one ever gets killed. But people are going to jail. When anyone sends money to hire a murderer, law enforcement knows, and the person they wanted dead carries on his or her life as if nothing ever happened.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Komando Insider, and Doug in Eugene, Oregon has a question about making his home smart and safe. Here's Kim.
Hi there, Doug.
Hi, Kim. Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been a listener for more years than I can count. I don't know when you went national, but it had to be pretty close to that. And it's just an honor to talk to you. And my question today is about smart homes.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I first started looking at what was going on and found out, well, smart homes is just this huge umbrella for dozens, if not hundreds, of different companies out there trying to sell you
everything.
Yeah. And then they promise you everything's compatible and all
it's
that
not.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been working with this, you know, I've been talking to this company, Chelsea Audio up in Portland, and they have a system called Control 4. So that's one of my questions. Have you ever heard of them?
Well, so are you building a house or remodeling? What are you doing?
Well, that's I live out in the country right now, and I'm single or alone now, and so I want to downsize a little bit. So I don't know if I'm going to just rewire this place, find a house that needs to be rebuilt or start new. Whatever I do, I want to start correctly from the ground up.
Yeah.
You know, with
yeah, it's, you know what, here's the thing. I don't know if you remember when we used to have all these different standards of Wi-Fi, and sometimes you can get on this Wi-Fi, but you couldn't get on that Wi-Fi. maybe remember when like a certain printer would only work with this version of Windows and it wouldn't work on a Mac. And, you know, it was, so, okay. And, you know, it just, it was a complete nightmare. Like, okay, let me tell you kids, this is the way it used to be, you know, but truth be known, you know, we went through a lot of headaches to get our stuff up and going. Now, when we're looking at home, smart home technology, we're kind of in that same boat. I don't know if you've heard me talk about this on the air, but I'm actually building a brand new house. And,
yes, I have. And
building a house, I had no idea how much work it was. Okay, I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how things like, what do you mean it doesn't have a sewer, would cost you like $75,000. Okay. And I didn't understand that, you know, telephone poles that have been up since the 50s, they can cause some major issues. Okay. So I'm learning as we go. And one of the big requirements, as you might guess, in my home is I want a totally smart home. Okay. Because the house that we're in now, we remodeled, say, 15 years ago. And so it's getting a little long in the tooth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
when we bought that house, we had to rewire the whole thing. And I don't want to have to rewire anything. Nothing. Because that's a nightmare.
Definitely not my first choice.
No. I mean, if I could do anything to dissuade you from rewiring a current house, I'd go to Eugene, we'd have lunch, and I'd say to you, this is something life is too short for you to rewire a house. Okay.
Well, you know, another big problem I have is I'm rural. And so all I have is satellite internet.
Oh.
So my speeds are sometimes during the day, I can't stream anything. So I'm too far away from the hub to get any kind of DSL up here. So I'm probably going to go downsize and get somewhere where I can get decent internet. And if that's the case, then I won't have any problem wiring because it'll be all.
Yeah.
Pretty much brand new. So
here, let me tell you where I'm at. Okay. I am 6 months away from putting anything in the walls. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, cause I'm building on the side of a mountain and which by the way, I didn't realize how difficult that was. Don't ask. Okay. So we're talking about, you know, beams going into, you know, granite rock and, you know, things of all that nature. And with Phoenix, I want it to be a greenhouse, which it's, you know, 120 degrees. Tell me how that's going to happen. You know, so I have all these requirements. So I actually met with my AV guy and said, you know, where are we and what do you think? I mean, because we have Crestron, Savant, S-A-V-A-N-T, and Control 4. Okay. And the general consensus, and here's a guy that I trust, he said, you know what, let's just hold off until about 4 or 5 months because this industry is moving so quickly. Because now you have something called the Z-Wave standard, which just 2 weeks ago became a standard. So we're starting to have standards come into place so we don't have all these disparate smart home systems that you're going to put something in that's not going to work with something else because that's the way it is now.
Yeah.
But Control 4 is darn good. Don't get me wrong. It's very good. But before I settle on it or anything else, I want to make sure that whatever standards are in play that I'm not going to be sitting here because it's only months. I'm not going to be sitting here saying, oh, darn it, we should have waited. So what I'm doing on the house, I'm saying, you know what? Let's leave open whatever we need, leave open to do the drops that we need to do. Okay. And I will have a server room in the house. And I'm going to try to rely on Wi-Fi, not as much as possible if I don't have to, but I want everything controlled. I want even the sprinklers controlled so that if it rains, I don't water the plants.
Yeah, I agree.
So I know I probably didn't answer your question, did I?
Well, you kind of did, and I agree. Things are changing so rapidly. I mean, I'm 66 years old, so I've seen a lot of transition in hardware and software in my life. But my other concern, and I'm like you, I'm going to wait and do things when I need to do it. But I'm also concerned about the security of the system and a VPN. You know, I've tried the ExpressVPN before, but I found that it wouldn't connect to my bank. I don't know if there's been changes. And
well, you know what? I can always hook you up with a tech support person because it works with my bank. I don't know what happened. Maybe there's something with satellite and bank and VPN. I don't know.
Maybe it could be. It could be it, too.
So that's what my gut is telling me, that we have that other extra variable in there. But the security of my smart home is paramount. I don't want anybody to have access to my video footage. So that's another layer that I've thrown on my AV guy to say, I'm not going to be sitting here like Ring doorbell. Okay. I mean, I want it all locked down and I want to make sure that only I have access to the videos inside the house, outside the house. How can we make sure that we do this? And also with the security system. Okay. So that if there's motion detected at this far part of the lot, that there's an automatic, everything's going to be automatic. When I put it all together, there's nobody sponsoring my smart house. When I put it all together, I'll let you know more in detail as we get through it. And, and as we can start doing videos, it's probably a good idea. We'll show you exactly what we're doing in the house, because it is so important to do it the right way so that you don't have to go rewire, because I've already gone through that nightmare and that's not happening again. Doug, thank you so much for your call.
Hey, it's time for our trivia answer. And if you remember, it was one of the following is not true. Three are true, one is not. A computer was invented in 1822. Was it the computer was Time Magazine's Man of the Year? Was it that Microsoft released the first laptop? Or was the first mouse created of wood? If you guess that the correct answer, the not true thing, is C, Microsoft was not the company behind the first laptop. That's the right answer. The first true mobile computer was created in 1981 by a man named Adam Osborne. It was called the Osborne 1, cost $1,800 and weighed about 24 pounds. Doesn't seem so mobile now, though, does it? The others on the list are all true. An English mathematician named Charles Babbage came up with the idea for a steam-driven machine that could compute numbers in 1822. And then in 1982, Time Magazine's Man of the Year was indeed a personal computer. And yes, the very first mouse, created in 1964, had a wooden shell. Hey, don't forget to like and subscribe. Every week we give you the very best that we can find digital news that you can use on Commando On Demand Insider. And we appreciate you listening and subscribing so you get this to your device every single week automatically. And here now, it's Kim with some final thoughts.
Many television stations in small to medium-sized towns now hire what those of us in the industry call one-man bands. These are television reporters who do it all, from hosting the segments to recording and editing what you see on the air. WLOS ABC 13 anchor Justin Hinton recently fired up Facebook Live on his phone for his weather broadcast in Asheville, North Carolina, about the city's first real snowfall. Just a little problem. Justin forgot to turn off Facebook's live mystery mask augmented reality filter for his entire broadcast about the dangers that snow was presenting on the roads, where there hadn't been such an event for 2 years. Justin, the esteemed reporter, wore a space helmet or had giant googly eyes. And the best was what looked like something from the Broadway show and movie Cats. The moral of the story is simple. Before you go live at home or for work, do a test. Otherwise, you might look like a flake. I really appreciate you being here, and stick with me for your trusted digital know-how. Find your local radio station that broadcasts my show, along with more DIY how-tos, videos, free news alerts delivered from me to your email address, along with the Commando community, where you can blog and ask your tech questions on our website without anyone tracking you. That's commando.com.
And I'll see you right here next week.